Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Wednesday, June 25th, 2014. South Sudan signs an agreement recommitting the country to protecting children.
The number that is observed to be 249 will be immediately demobilized, and we will visit those locations together with the United Nations so that they assure that the action is being implemented.
And members of parliament complain about controversial appointments.
I think many were not happy. Members, they protested. They went as far as also producing a list. They presented it to the speaker.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The government of South Sudan is renewing its commitment not to recruit more children into the National Army and to free the ones it already has. Defense Minister Kwal Manyang Duke signed the agreement on behalf of the government at a ceremony in Juba yesterday. For VOA News, Mungome Debs Rakarinj filed this report from Juba.
The UN Secretary General's Special Representative for Children and Armed Conflict, Leila Zerugai, and head of the Children's Agency, UNICEF in South Sudan, Jonathan Vieich, witnessed the signing of the government's commitment in which the Kiir administration vowed not to recruit children, to release the child soldiers it already has, and to prevent other violations against children. Juba first signed the action plan in 2009. The agreement, which was renewed in 2012, also provides for the SPLA to work with child rights organizations to reunify demobilized children with their families and to investigate other forms of violations committed against children. South Sudan's military spokesperson, Colonel Philip Aguer, acknowledges the SPLA has more than 200 child soldiers.
The number that is observed to be 249 will be immediately demobilized, and we will visit those locations together with the United Nations so that they assure that the action is being implemented.
Aguirre says the SPLA has mobilized more than 7,000 child soldiers since 2007. Dun Porter, head of communication for UNICEF in South Sudan, says the recommitment will help protect children in a country where more than 10,000 people, including children, have been killed in the past 6 months.
These include killing and maiming of children. Of course, it would be the most important one. Apart from the recruitment and use of children, sexual violence against children, attacks against schools or hospitals, denial of humanitarian access for children, and abduction of children.
Porter says a team of children protection officers will move around the country with the SPLA officers to verify that there are no more children recruited into the army. Aguirre says violations of the agreement will not be tolerated.
The army commander that will recruit child soldiers will be punished, and we will request civil societies and child organizations to help us in observing. Any observations reported to the SPLA will be verified and action will be taken. Already, the chief of staff have already issued a decree to punish anybody using child soldiers.
The UN says more than 9,000 children have been recruited into both sides, opposition and the SPLA, since the conflict began in mid-December. Porter says recruiting children to fight and kill can cause long-term psychological damage.
The effects of this can stay with them for a very long time. So we do work with partners to offer psychological support and also to try to make sure that the children are go back into education. Some of the older children prefer to have vocational training, and so we are working with partners also to provide vocational training.
And Porter says UNICEF has received assurances from the SPLM in opposition that it will abide by the agreement. The rebels have agreed to demobilize children and stop recruiting them. For VOA News, I am Gumedev Surakarinj in Juba.
Another top United Nations official is calling on South Sudanese leaders to end the ongoing conflict and restore peace in the country. The director of UN's cultural agency, UNESCO, Irina Bokova, says her agency is working with South Sudan government to establish a museum in the country. For VOA News, Waki Simon has this report from Juba.
Irina Bokova is on a two-day visit to South Sudan to press the warring parties in the conflict to move quickly to restore peace so citizens can get on with their lives.
Peace and national dialogue is so much needed nowadays if South Sudan wants to advance. We are here also to pass a very strong message that peace is the best way of eradicating and reducing poverty, and we will not want to see South Sudan lagging behind.
Bokova's call comes just a day after IGAD mediators adjourned peace talks between the South Sudan government and anti-government indefinitely. She urged South Sudan's leaders to ensure increased access to education for young people, especially girls, to enhance peace in the country. According to South Sudan's education ministry, 70% of the country's population is illiterate.
This is the best investment the country can make. It will prevent early marriages, early pregnancies, HIV, AIDS. It will help communities. It will help raise healthy children, healthy families.
Bokova says UNESCO expects South Sudan to ratify all cultural conventions. She says separately, UNESCO is working with the South Sudan government to establish a national museum. Bokova visited South Sudan together with the UN Secretary General's Special Representative for Children and Armed Conflict, Leila Zerogai, and UNESCO Ambassador for Peace, Forrest Whitaker. Whitaker says he is in the country to launch peace-building projects targeting victims of the conflict.
Next thing that we're going to do here before we move to our next project is to develop sporting fields in the POC camp. So we're going to be developing a sporting field for football, for volleyball, and for basketball.
Whitaker says he believes the establishment of sports projects in IDP camps will allow the nation's youth to express themselves in the community. For VOA News, I am Wake Simon Udu in Juba.
Waki Simon Udu is also reporting that business at South Sudan's parliament has stopped due to disagreement over recently announced appointments of powerful chairpersons for various parliamentary committees. The ruling party SPLM members say the parliament speaker did not follow proper procedure when making the appointments.
Speaker Manasseh Magok Rundial last week announced the 18 members of parliament who would head various committees, but MPs rejected the appointees, charging SPLM whip Tulio Odongi Ayahu was not consulted as per the rules of procedure. Parliamentary procedure also provides that chairpersons and deputies appointed by the speakers should be legislators who have never held any position in parliament in the past. Andrew Okoni is the opposition's chief whip and acting minority leader.
Through looking into the list of the new appointees as chairpersons and their deputies, the specialized committees, it was realized that the previous chairpersons have been made also to sit the chairs of the committees. So I think many were not happy. Members, they protested. They went as far as also producing a list. They presented it to the speaker.
Finance Minister Agretisa Sabuni was expected to present the 2014-15 budget today, but that did not happen because of the uproar over the chairmanships. MPs were also expected to debate present Salva Kiir's letter to the head of IGAD, Ethiopian Prime Minister Haile Mariam Desalegn, expressing what he called his immense disappointment and sense of discouragement for the statement made by Mahbub Maalim, allegedly saying Mr. Kiir and Riek Machar were stupid to think they would win the conflict on the battlefront. but this too was put off until an agreement is reached over the appointment of committee chairpersons. Okuni says until the matter is resolved, the Assembly's Business Committee, or ABC, cannot schedule the Parliament's legislative business.
The Speaker called for ABC. ABC is Assembly Business Committee, with the new people leaders appointed, but was not procedural because they should have been blessed by the Assembly to say yes, but it was not blessed by the Assembly. There was row in the House that day. The Speaker differed with the government chief whip. It was very open, so it caused a situation not acceptable in a House like this.
Though it's not part of the rules of procedure, Okuni says lawmakers expected Rundial to follow a tradition where the Speaker appoints committee chairpersons and their deputies from regions that have not been adequately represented in the national government in the past. SPLM legislator Julius Moilinga admits the controversial appointments have paralyzed the parliamentary business.
And normally, it is actually in our constitution, the selection of the members to committee is something not from outside. It is in the constitution and in the conduct of business as well, and it has its own interpretations also. Yes, it has been a very contentious issue, left and right.
Okuni says it's the responsibility of the ruling party to resolve the controversy.
It is crisis. What should be done now is the government chief whip to call for SPLM caucus, because the majority is SPLM, and they talk it in their caucus. But if the caucus is not sitting, then they will not handle it unless there is intervention from the leadership of their party. Well, that is the way forward.
One lawmaker speaking on condition of anonymity says Speaker Manasi Magok Rundial, his deputy Mark Nyipoch, acting government chief whip Thomas Kundu, and former deputy speaker Daniel Awet met this morning to try to resolve the controversy but did not agree on a solution. For VOA News, I am Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
We are learning more details surrounding yesterday's detention of a Sudanese woman who was freed after being convicted of apostasy last month and then taken into custody again. Mariam Ibrahim Yahya was detained yesterday while attempting to board a plane with her family in Khartoum. VOA fellow Nabil Biajo spoke to her husband and lawyer and has this story.
The 27-year-old mother was trying to leave Sudan along with her husband and two children less than 24 hours after her release from Khartoum prison, where she was being held on death row. They were stopped at the airport by Sudan's National Intelligence and Security Services. Mariam's husband, Daniel Wani, is originally from South Sudan but has U.S. citizenship. Speaking through a translator, he says they were trying to travel to Juba and then on to the United States, but did not even get one foot on the plane.
We were at the airport, and just 5 minutes before we could board the plane, we were approached by security people. They took us to a separate building inside the airport where we were held for 4 hours. Then they started questioning us. After that, we waited for 2 hours. Then we were brought to the police station and they opened an investigation, and in the end, they said the travel documents my wife and children have might not be legal.
Mariam was accused of having a false identity. The attorney general said her travel documents did not bear her real name. Wani says the excuse does not make sense because the court appeared to accept her name as provided by her lawyers.
They held us overnight because even though we were entitled to be released on bail, they said there was more follow-up to be done on the case, and that's why we are still held here at the police station.
Osman Mubarak, one of Mariam's lawyers, says before Mariam was tried for apostasy, it was accepted by the court that Mariam was her real name. But during the legal procedures, men who identified themselves as Mariam's brothers came forth and argued her real name was Abrar al-Hadi. Mubarak says the court eventually ruled in their favor.
She tried to travel outside Sudan by her name, Mariam Yahya, not Abrar. And we think this is the confusion for the government of Sudan officials. This is why they brought her to the police station, that she impersonated a character of someone else or a name of someone which is unknown for them. The accusation is on this matter.
For now, Mariam is still being held in detention at the Khartoum area police station while her lawyers and her husband work together to have her released.
Mariam now subject investigation in one of police station in Khartoum state in violation of some sections of Criminal Act 1991 prevailing here in Sudan, and we cannot mention where she now for some reasons that relate to her privacy and her safety.
Mubarak says it's up to the Attorney General when or if Mariam will be released. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Good personal hygiene is important to protect you, your family, and your community. More than 5,000 children die every day from diarrhea and stomach disorders caused by the bacteria found in human waste. People get sick when these bacteria are spread from person to person on their hands or clothing. But there are things you can do to help stop the spread of infection. Try to relieve yourself far away from where you cook, eat, and store food. Wash your hands thoroughly with soap and water after using the latrine. And keep cuts and scrapes clean and covered until they're healed. It is important to you and your family to understand the threat of diseases that can be spread by human waste and avoid them by staying clean.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Women in Yambio have a reason to smile thanks to a prenatal care. That story is coming up next.
For all the latest in-depth news and analysis on events in South Sudan, tune in to Voice of America's South Sudan in Focus, Monday through Friday from 16:30 to 1700 UTC. You can email us at southsudan@voanews.com. We are also on the web at voanews.com/South Sudan. Or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Put your flags up in
the sky. Hi, this is Sonny Young of the Sunny Side of Sports. Visit voafootball.com for live updates on the World Cup in Brazil. The site is optimized for your mobile phone or tablet and will bring you the latest scores, stats, photos, and videos. And everything can be shared with your friends from your mobile device to Facebook and Twitter. World Cup nonstop at voafootball.com.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
in what way do you think a female political leader's style would be different and why?
Female leaders at work or even at a political level, most of them are more tolerant, strict, accommodating.
I imagine a female leader taking over an area because a woman is always considerate, which is not common with men. Men are never considerate. All they care about is money, 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 and more money. Well, for women, love money, yes, but they are a bit considerate.
Politics is a dirty game, but I think women who are involved in politics will be more concrete, will be more open to listen to the common man.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. Health officials in Western Equatorial State say more women are turning up for prenatal and maternal services at the state hospital in Yambio. They say there has been an increase in the number of women delivering at the hospital in the past few years, an average of 230 women per month. Gift Friday has the story for VOA from Yambio.
Joy Justin is one of the lucky mothers who received a post-delivery kit from an Azande community in the U.S. city of Portland, Maine, containing a towel, rubber bands, and clothing for mothers and child, among other items to help with the first few months of a newborn's life. Justin says after having 9 children, this is the first time she has ever received this kind of donation.
Before, as we used to deliver here, these things that were brought, we have not seen them. This is the first time. Thank you so much. May God bless you.
Expectant mother Cecilia Simon says she has no money, so she is extremely grateful for the support of the Azande women's community in Maine.
I am very happy for bringing our things. Where could I get money to afford it? Thanks for those who sent it. I give thanks to them. God bless them so that they may send more.
Keturah Charles, a mother of two, says she too appreciates the donations from the United States.
It is a very good initiative that they have done. This is my second child, but it has never happened to me before.
Esther Benny Martin is a representative of the Azande women in Portland, Maine. She says this small donation to Yambio Hospital can make a big difference to new mothers. But she says more must be done at the hospital to improve pre- and postnatal care.
They need to clean the hospital, especially where the baby and mother are. It wasn't that clean for the babies and their mother. So in other areas, the nurse stations, it need to be covered with nice material, even though it's white stuff, blankets. Other than that, it's better than last time when I was here. It's a good improvement.
The medical director of Yambio State Hospital, Dr. Ismail Muhammad, appreciates the initiative. Dr. Muhammad says Western Equatoria residents welcome the help and look forward to more donations from Beni and others in the U.S. diaspora.
Situation of our mothers, the post-delivered mothers here in the hospital, they need support, and we are very happy to receive you here in Yambio State Hospital. We are looking forward to continue supporting our mothers because we know their situations.
In 2012, the same community in the United States donated beds, bed sheets, and other supplies for the hospital. And he says he thanks to partners like the French medical charity, MSF Spain. The hospital has far more human resources at the hospital than it did over the last couple of years. They now have 7 medical doctors compared to 4 2 to 3 years ago. Mohammed thanked the United Nations Development Program for donating sophisticated laboratory equipment, a blood bank, a TB department, a digital X-ray machine, and 2 ultrasound scanning machines. Esnat Ndlovu, a UNFPA, United Nations Population Fund midwife at the hospital, says the prenatal kits will help many mothers in the hospital. Esnat says Yambio State Hospital recently broke a record in the number of its deliveries. Even with these improvements, she says, too many mothers are still dying in childbirth.
The transport and the referral system from the clinics, if they have complications, it's a challenge for them to come this side. Our wish was if the referral system could be strengthened and also the staff could be increased so that they do not have home deliveries.
MSF field manager Vangelia Moka says Doctors Without Borders is providing more training for hospital staff to ensure the number of safe deliveries, but more must be done.
In hospital level, we don't lose mothers, but we don't know what's going on outside. Yeah, in hospital level, the mortality is very low, but we are losing a lot of babies. Due to malaria, the mothers are delivering earlier, so those babies cannot survive in such kind of context.
It is said that Western Equatoria State has had the highest mortality rate in the country over the last couple of years. For VOA News, I'm Gift Friday in Yambio.
From Yambio, we move to Warrap State, where the ruling SPLM party has launched a drive to register new members and get existing members renew their ties to the party. In Warrap State, they say they have signed up more than 7,000 members within a short time. As Santino Manut reports.
SPLM Brian Secretary for Warrap State, Alessio Makuny Mokoj, has been calling on supporters and sympathizers of the ruling party to turn up in number and register. In the past few days of the registration drive, many have heeded his call.
Approximately, we might have gone at about 6,000 or 7,000 today, because in the headquarters alone, we are able to register 564 members. Largely, our members, they like to register in their boomers. Yesterday, I received some estimates from some counties that can bring about 6,000 to 7,000, but it might be more.
The drive to register more SPLM members began last week in the state capital, Kwajok. Speaking during the inauguration ceremony for registration campaign, the acting chairman of the SPLM in Warabu State, Andrew Kwajmeyol, said signing up as a member of the ruling party carries with it a certain obligations.
Once you are a member.
When you are a registered member, you are expected to be loyal. Be loyal to the party, be loyal to the chairman of the party, be loyal to Comrade Salva Kiir Mayardit. He is the chairman.
Kwai says the ongoing unrest in the country was largely the result of indiscipline and lack of loyalty among SPLM members.
It is disloyalty that has taken us to Addis Ababa for what they call negotiations. This is a new case of disloyalty in the SPLM as a political party. At this point in time, while we are launching this registration, we are telling ourselves to keep away from disloyalty. Be right members of the SPLM political party without disloyalty.
Kwai says peace, stability and development will only come to South Sudan if the country's citizens set aside their differences and unite as a people.
I am a die-hard supporter of the SPLM, and for that reason, I came to register. I am urging all citizens of Warab to register their membership in the SPLM.
Mashkil Ngwediai says he renewed his membership because he wants to show he is committed to SPLM. He says party liberated him and other South Sudanese from years of oppression by Sudan.
I am coming today to register because registering is very important. It's very important because it renews the spirit of SPLM in our heart. Although we have registered in the past, we need to register again in order to renew our spirit. We need to show South Sudanese that SPLM is still as new as ever since it was formed.
Ngwed wants South Sudanese not to be misled by people with what he calls narrow ambitions, and the membership drive will last 2 months and is expected to go well. Warab State is considered an SPLM stronghold and has been largely unaffected by the fighting in the country. But with rain season expected to start in earnest soon, many roads are likely to become impassable. For BOA's News, I'm Santino Manut. In Kwajok.
That's our show for this Wednesday. We now leave you with the song Lucia by a traditional Didinga group in Eastern Equatorial State. Listening to a traditional Didinga group from Eastern Equatorial State with the song Lucia. I'm John Tanza in Washington. We are glad you could join us this evening. Tune in again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.